Hi, this is Michael Carr with a podcast called The Spirit of Offense. Paul says in Romans 14, verse 4, "Who are you to judge someone's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand." A thorn, the pain, the hurt, a proud heart. I was right and they were wrong. The spirit of offense is one of the major weapons of Satan. All of us have experienced this kind of attack. We can vividly remember all our pity parties and all the times we were neglected, hurt, and left out. However, today the Lord wants to talk about something very special. He wants to help us identify this spirit and give us ways to overcome it. The spirit of offense is one of the most neglected and little known works of the evil one, because it is such a common experience of mankind. Everybody gets offended at one time or another. It's how we handle the offense that makes the difference. Now, the spirit of offense works very hard at not being seen, because to expose it would be to defeat him. This spirit likes to wound us with the spirit of offense so that we can dwell on hurt, resentment, and pain. One of the ways to know if you are getting attacked by the spirit of offense is asking yourself, do you dwell on hurt or resentment or pain? Do these thoughts cross your path every day? Is this what your mind dwells on or your spirit mulls over again and again and again? Or is it just like a stabbing sword wound that comes every once in a while, and you shove it off and shove it away? But the end result is that you don't draw close to people like you did once before, or you stay a little farther away, or you just keep quiet and you don't reveal yourself. The spirit of offense is crushing you. The spirit of offense is smothering you. The spirit of offense is taking and strangling the life out of you. The spirit of offense likes to keep us centered on our circumstances. As it says in Proverbs 6, verse 19, "An offended brother or sister is more unyielding than a fortified city, and disputes are like the barred gates of a citadel." Yes, an offended brother or sister is more unyielding than a fortified city. That's pretty unyielding. This is how we become when we are attacked repeatedly by the spirit of offense. We are almost afraid to talk about that for fear that we will offend another person or they will offend us. It is that wicked spirit of offense at work in our lives, keeping us isolated, keeping us away from others, keeping us reflecting on hurt and pain and injury. The spirit of offense makes our friends isolation, desolation, and destruction. Because if we keep following the spirit of offense, we'll end up with isolation, desolation, and we will be destroyed. Our lives will be destroyed and our friendships will be destroyed. Everything that we hold precious and dear to us will be destroyed, because all we will have is ourselves and our own self-centeredness, our pride, and our own righteousness. This is how the spirit of offense and how it controls us in our lives. Now, Satan works in several ways to accomplish making the spirit of offense as one of our friends. He causes us to be divided by causing us to look at our differences rather than what keeps us together. We say, "Oh yes, I'm right about my political views. I know how we should react to this situation in a certain way. Did you hear what this brother or sister did? You say I would never do it that way. How come I think this or that? How come you think this or that? Not me. Lord, I wouldn't do that." However, the spirit of offense is behind all that, because we are offended by what other people do or what they say, and we don't agree with them. We judge them, and Satan likes to take this and twist it a little bit more and a little bit deeper. They do not think like me. Lord, so therefore I'm offended and I won't be like them. The spirit of offense often works on us and tells us that we need to work on our right to be superior to our brothers and sisters instead of making love our aim. I know what their opinion is, but I'm right. We silently say this in our heads and in our minds. I am superior. I know better. I would not do what they do. The spirit of offense is busy at work. The spirit of offense is grinding away at us, hounding away at us. The spirit of offense will do anything from making love our aim. The spirit of offense does not want us to look at anything that draws us together, like the Lord Jesus, or our love for one another, or our commitment to one another. The fact that Jesus died for us on the cross, that doesn't mean anything to the spirit of offense. Matter of fact, the spirit of offense is offended by Jesus. He wants us to look at anything that divides us, anything that unifies us, he does not want us to look at all. The spirit of offense places secret expectations in our hearts, as if we deserve to be treated in a certain way. The spirit of offense causes us to forget compassion and kindness for the weaknesses of our brothers and sisters. My brother was crude again. Yeah, he lied again. Boy, I wouldn't be like that. I wouldn't eat that many pieces of cake. What a glutton. I wouldn't eat that much chocolate, would I? And the spirit of offense is jumping up and down in pleasure and glee because he knows he's accomplishing his purpose. Where is the compassion and the kindness that we need to have for our brothers and sisters? It's not there when the spirit of offense is there, that's for sure. Yes, we think we have the right to be treated kindly, but often we are among the first ones to think critically of the acts of another, their personality, or the past of our brothers and sisters. We silently in our minds judge and criticize and say, I would not be like that. However, the truth is that we are all sinners and we have all fallen short of the glory of God, as it says in Romans 3:23. We have been slaves to sin and unrighteousness, and until Jesus freed us from the power of sin and death on the cross, we are still sinners. But as the saints and his people, our only right is to have the righteousness of Jesus. We do not have any other right. We do not have the right to be right or to be better than someone else. We do not have the right to be unforgiving, to walk in hatred, or the right to be angry. I am sorry to tell you that we do not have any rights like that, because when we die with Jesus on the cross, our only right is to become like him. Jesus took all our rights away to be selfish and self-centered. We do not have any right to be angry, rude, or thoughtless because our brothers and sisters acted that way. He wants us to realize that we are going to be offended. But if we pray for the spirit of kindness and gentleness from Jesus, God will protect us from the spirit of offense. We need to pray for a desire to read Scripture often and reflect on the goodness of God. The Word of God is like a big hand that pushes the spirit of offense away. When we use the word of God as a sword, it pushes the evil one and the spirit of offense away. When we answer the evil one with Scripture and we meditate on Scripture when we think of the goodness of God, it is very hard for us to be offended. It's harder for us to be attacked when we dwell on our hurts or our pain. Yes, we need to pray for one another for purity of heart and our own constant need for God. When was the last time you prayed for a pure heart to know God? When was the last time we prayed for a greater need for God? The cold-heartedness, the indifference, and resentment are all calling cards for the spirit of offense, because when the spirit of offense is present, he will take us away from God every single time. We need to catch people doing something right rather than catching them doing something wrong all the time. We need to look at being offended as the enemy. We need to ask ourselves a question. What good will this do to me? Is this helping me do better? Am I thinking straighter? The answer to that question is always no. Being more offended never causes us to think more clearly or to walk in the goodness of God. It never helps to be offended, but it always helps us to consider the wounds of Jesus, the power of Jesus to save us, the power of Jesus to help us through his love and his kindness. Do we accept the love and kindness of Jesus? Do we hide ourselves in the wounds of Jesus? Do we accept the power and the authority of Jesus to rebuke the spirit of offense? Or do we become offended and do not fight back? Yes, we need to make a decision to love and be vulnerable as Jesus did for us. All of us are tempted not to be vulnerable to anyone after we're hurt. We say, that's it. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to be vulnerable. And we stop being vulnerable. We open the door to the spirit of offense. The spirit of offense walks right in. What is the description of someone who's not vulnerable? They are lonely, isolated, and afraid. They are desperate, destroyed, cold-hearted. These are all calling cards of the spirit of offense. If we are not vulnerable and we do not keep trying, that is what will happen to us, brothers and sisters. What would have happened if Jesus wasn't vulnerable? What would have happened if he hadn't said, I'm not going to be vulnerable anymore? What would have happened to us if Jesus did not take on our sins on the cross? Or Jesus did not decide to be vulnerable to his disciples who hurt him so many times, and his so-called friends who rejected him? Thank God for Jesus and what he did for us. Thank God that he did not take offense, and he does not want us to take offense either when somebody hurts us. We can have 100% of reasons to be right in the world, to be offended, but Jesus says we should not be offended. And that one reason wipes out all the other reasons that we have to be offended. Being offended leads us to death, but hiding in the wounds of Jesus and accepting the power and grace to love gives us life. The Lord says to us, choose life that you might live. When we choose not to be offended by brothers and sisters, we choose life. As it says in Proverbs 17, verse 9, Jesus took them all upon himself. Instead, Jesus wants to give him himself. As a people of God, we need to give up our supposed rights. And the devil tries to convince us to become offended and not accept the righteousness of Jesus, not to give away the love of Jesus, not to proclaim the deeds of Jesus, not to fight the battles of Jesus, and assume the character and nature of Jesus. That is our only right, brothers and sisters, to have all these things, to take on Jesus, to hide in his wounds, and to accept his great love. We need to hide under the shadow of his wings. We need to walk with him and be with him and desire his presence every day. Is it not to decide that we are not better than someone else, but to decide to be with Jesus? That's what we need to do. To desire Jesus more than to desire being offended. In the history of the world, no one had more right to be offended than Jesus. But what was his response to his tormentors? No one had more power or authority than Jesus. Yet what was his response to his tormentors? Jesus only let his love speak for him to this world. And he told us not to be tempted and offended by continually dwelling in the spirit of offense and thinking about the sin and injustices done by other people to us. Let us remember that the spirit of offense leads us to the kingdom of defense, where we look to our own wounds and our own righteousness. In the kingdom of defense, we build a fortress around us, a fortress of defense, a fortress of self-righteousness, where we refuse to take on the righteousness and power of Christ that he gave us. Would it not be better if we were wrong to think about the wounds of Jesus, his power, and the righteousness of Jesus? We need to respond in love and kindness when we are offended. Then the Lord extends his hands and says, "Here, I offer you love and kindness for your brother and sister. I offer you power to keep living in a positive and effective way. I offer you the grace to continue to love even though you are hurt and offended." As we choose to be offended, Satan laughs at us because he knows that as long as we are offended, we cannot be close to God as God wants us to be. Let us remember that the spirit of offense is one of the most powerful weapons of the evil one. The spirit of offense poisons our relationships. The spirit of offense keeps us lonely. The spirit of offense makes us afraid. The spirit of offense leaves us cold-hearted to God. We say to God, "You didn't do it my way. I'm offended. I don't like that. I'm offended by you, God." And as we say this repeatedly, we have a colder heart towards God. The fire of God's love slowly dies, and we become cold-hearted, angry, resentful, bitter, because we become like the spirit of offense that has attacked us. I'm going to close this talk with some ways to oppose the spirit of offense. 1, pray for the spirit of gentleness and kindness in our daily lives. We need to pray that when somebody does us wrong, we will not be offended. We can actually pray for that, you know. We can pray that God will cover us when we are offended, and that love will be promoted in our hearts, and that whoever repeats the matter separates us from God. In Proverbs 19, verse 11, it says, "A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense." What kind of glory do we have? Do we have the glory of our own righteousness, which will fade? Or do we have the glory of Jesus that overlooks an offense? Do we have the patience of Jesus? Probably not, but at least we can try. At least we can ask for it. Do you remember how patient God is with us when we are impatient with our brothers and sisters, when they hurt us or wrong us? Surely we will. If we choose to remember, surely I will hurt or offend you, and I will need your forgiveness. Please do not be offended if I hurt you, because I need you to love me. I do not need you to be offended. If you are offended, then you shut me out, and I end up lonely and afraid, desolated and dead. When you shut me out, then I become offended because you take on the offense, and it becomes easier for me to be the same way. Being offended is like a cancer that creeps over the body of Christ. And as we kill the spirit of offense, we'll be healthier and healthier. However, when I become offended, we become isolated and unable to love. I can't love. I'm too offended. I can't care. I'm too offended. I can't pray. I'm too offended. I'm offended at you. I'm offended at God. I'm offended. I'm offended. I'm offended. The spirit of offense leads to death. Being offended leads to death. It kills our relationships, and it kills us. And it's very important for us to understand that offense is like a cancer, and offense leads us to death and everything that is bad. As it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:13, live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that no one is paid back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to one another and everyone else. Now may God himself, the God of all peace, sanctify you through and through, and may your whole spirit and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. He will do it, brothers and sisters. He will if you reach out to him. He will take the spirit of offense from you. He will let you hide in his wounds. He will take away and rob Satan of one of the major weapons to destroy you and his church. Let's love one another. Let's care for one another. Let's choose not to be offended. Let's build up the body in Christ and not tear it down. Let's be a real example of love to one another. This is the call of Jesus as he holds out his wounded hand. Will you accept the life I want to give you? Will you accept what these wounds will bring you? Will you accept my love, and will you hide in my wounds? Jesus is reaching towards you. Will you take his hand, or will you take the hand of the spirit of offense? Thank you. May God bless you.